Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe explains why our culture is so confused when it comes to the subject of marriage.
Marriage entails a whole set of responsibilities that some people are not quite ready to handle. They haven't thought through what it means to take care of a household. And there's a whole set of troubles and issues and responsibilities that marriage entails.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, many people say that love is based on your feelings or on happiness. There's even a famous song that repeatedly reminds us that all you need is love. But Mark, let me ask, is that really true? Is love the only thing we need? Or is there something else that's essential for a marriage to succeed?
The anthem of our society. You see it in all the movies, all the Hollywood movies.
That's true,
you know,
yeah.
They end with all you need is love. But they don't always tell you the story that love has to be worked at, that commitment is a commitment to make a relationship work takes hard work. And yeah, love is an important thing and that's a part of it. But love is less feeling than it is commitment and action.
Yeah, anyone who's been married long knows that, don't they?
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get into today's message. Mark, you've called this one, To Marry or Not to Marry, is the question. It's from our series, Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage.
Last night, I was putting my six-year-old son to bed, and we pray before he goes to bed, and so I was praying with him, and I laid down in the bed with him. He had his arm around me. And we started talking about what it meant to be a man of God and a married man. And he was kind of halfway sleeping while I was talking, like some of you do on Sunday morning sometimes. But I got talking to him about what a man does and a husband. He loves his wife and he protects his wife and he provides for his family and he works hard. And he trains his children, and he teaches them right from wrong. And I was just going on and on about what it meant to be a man. And I got on, I was talking about being bold. And I said, and you have to be bold sometimes. And sometimes you have to stand up for what is right. And you have to speak against injustice. And you got to be bold and bold for God. And he interrupts me. He says, Dad, but what if, even if I'm bald, they don't listen? He had not quite understood bold and thought I was saying bald. And so I had to kind of re-explain what this all was. And so this morning, he came into our room and he laid down on our bed and he put his arm around me and I said, hey, did you tell Mom we were talking about what it meant to be a man of God last night? He said, no. I said, do you remember everything I told you? He said, not all of it, Dad. He said, but you're not going to go into that whole long story again, are you? And sometimes it's that way with marriage, that we don't always quite understand exactly God's definition of marriage for our times. We've allowed our culture and our surrounding to define marriage and the family. But if we're going to understand what marriage means from anybody, it needs to be from God, because God is the author and designer of marriage. So if anybody knows how marriage works best, it must be the guy that invented it and designed it and orchestrated it. So the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, is answering questions to the Corinthian believers who were confused about the issue of marriage, and he turns his attention in verse 25 to talk to them about the issue of to marry or not to marry. And I'm going to pick up in verse 25, reading out of the New International Version. It says, now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Now when you see the word virgins there, it's first of all referring to women in this context. And it's not just referring to women who have never had who've never been sexually involved. It's referring, from the context we see, it's referring more towards women that are single and some of them are engaged to be married, or some of them are just single, but waiting to see whether they marry or not. The term virgin is just a generic term in the sense of someone that wasn't married before, but it's talking about single women. The Apostle Paul says, I have no command from the Lord. In other words, he's saying, Jesus did not speak specifically about this topic, or we don't find this specifically addressed in the Old Testament, but nonetheless, he says, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. And although Jesus had not, he's not quoting Jesus in this context, he's still saying what I have to say is trustworthy. In other words, Paul's words were still inspired by the Holy Spirit and just as reliable as any other part of the Bible that you may study. He says in verse 26, because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. Now, Paul is talking to singles that were struggling with the fact, should I get married or should I not get married? There were some that were engaged. And they were asking themselves, is it better for me to break off the engagement or continue on with this marriage? Is it better for me to stay single all the rest of my life? God, really, what should I do? And so Paul is answering their question. And Paul, first of all, in verse 26 says, because of this present crisis. Now, we don't know exactly what was happening at Corinth, but from the historical context, we can assume that there was a few very extreme circumstances that were happening in Corinth at the time. One of those was persecution of the church. It was hard to be a Christian back in those days. The church was being persecuted. People were losing their jobs. There was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of immorality, a lot of ungodliness, a lot of marriages that were falling apart, a lot of divorce, a lot of chaos that was happening. And the Apostle Paul says, this is a crisis situation. And so he says, in light of this crisis, I would encourage you, first of all, that you should remain just as you are. How many of you know that crisis is not the right time to make major decisions in our life typically? Some people make decisions in the middle of crisis, and oftentimes it's the wrong decision. They have their the job lays them off, and so they have a financial crisis, so they decide, hey, I'm going to get married. Or they have a health crisis, and they decide, okay, I'm going to move to Hawaii. Oftentimes in the middle of crisis, we get confused about things, and a crisis is not the right time to make major decisions in our life. It's better to wait till the crisis is over to make long-term commitments. Some people in the middle of crisis decide, I'm going to get a divorce. Some people in the middle of crisis decide, I'm going to get married. But any wise counselor will tell you, do not make a decision in the middle of crisis. Wait until things have calmed down a little bit. Wait until you are able to get your bearings a little bit, and then you can make a decision in a better way. Paul was telling these people who everybody was ready to change, he was saying, slow down. Because this is a critical situation, let's not jump into anything irrational right now. Slow down and let's not try to make any major decisions at this time. In fact, I believe that one of the major reasons that we make decisions irrationally oftentimes is discontentment. Paul is telling them, he says, if you're married, hey, don't try to get a divorce. If you're single, don't look for a wife. Let's just be content at this moment in this crisis with whatever situation you are in. Try to find contentment. Let me tell you one of the worst reasons to get married, or one of the worst reasons to get a divorce, is if you're discontent. People do it all the time because they're unhappy. People find themselves discontent and they wake up one day and say, I'm just not happy in life. So maybe it's because I've been married to the same woman for 15 years, and if I just had another woman, I think I would really be happy. They're discontent in life, so they want to make changes. And I believe you can really mess up your life when you allow discontentment and unhappiness to drive the decisions that you make. That's true about divorce and marriage, and that's true about buying a house and buying a car or the school that you go to. I think that discontentment is one of the worst ways of making decisions. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm discontent? Well, I think that some of the signs of discontentment is when you envy, when you have the inability to rejoice at the success of others. You look at other people, instead of being happy that they're succeeding, instead of being happy that someone else is getting married, you become envious that they're getting married. Instead of being happy that someone else at your work is getting a promotion, you develop this anger and bitterness because they're getting ahead and you're not. That's a sign of discontentment. Another sign of discontentment is uncontrolled ambition. When you become a workaholic, when you are driven by ambition and you'll step on anybody and do whatever it takes because you're unhappy with your current circumstance, so you are driven by this unbridled ambition in your life. I think another sign is a critical spirit. When people are discontent, oftentimes they develop a critical spirit and they become critical about their wife or about their husband. They become critical about their neighbors and critical about their teachers and critical about the weather and critical about anything in life. They just become critical about everything around them and become very negative. Why? Because they're discontent inside, and so they become critical about everything around them. I think another sign of discontentment is a complaining spirit. That you just get in a self-pity party and just complain about everything and bemoan and get into this self-pity as woe is me and everybody's always against me and I don't have things like they have things and I'm the victim. I think that is a sign of discontentment. So I'm going to tell you this, that if you are discontent right now, that God is telling you at this moment in time, maybe you're sitting here in this auditorium and you're sitting right beside your husband or beside your wife, but inside you're discontent. And I'm going to tell you that right now, that maybe you've been looking outside of your marriage and thinking, well, maybe it's my spouse that makes me unhappy. Well, God is telling you this morning, stop looking outside, stop thinking about change, and start thinking about remaining in the situation that you're at and making the most of it and investing your energies into making your marriage work. Amen.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and I'll take just a brief moment to mention that tomorrow is the final day in this important series called Straight Talk. So if you need to catch up on a previous lesson before we get to our series finale, be sure to go online to boldstepsradio.org.
Yeah, and just a reminder that we love to hear from you. We got various ways for you to reach out to us, and just let us know your questions, your testimonies, through the website, through a phone line that we have. And I want you to know that we actually do read every comment that comes in. And we try to respond to some of the questions on our radio program. So feel free to give us some of your questions.
Mark, I want to share a letter we received that I think a lot of parents may relate to. This comes from a listener we call Amy. She says, I've been listening to Bold Steps for a little over a year now, and I want to thank you. Almost all of the messages grip me and affect my life every time, helping me to thrive in my walk with the Lord. With you being president of MBI and working with college students, I have a prayer request for you. My husband and I have two college kids. Both my kids have been raised in a Christian church, and my husband and I have been involved in Sunday school and youth groups, and I pray for my kids daily. But I can't help but think that maybe my husband and I raised them in the church, but maybe not in Christ. How can I repair this?
Yeah. So, Amy, let me say you're not alone as a parent praying for the life and destiny of college children or adult children. So I have three things I want to tell you, Amy. Number one, I want you to remember that the final chapter in your children's story hasn't been written yet. Sometimes we see them at a point in the journey and we get desperate. But I want to remind you that the final chapter hasn't been written, so continue to pray. That's an encouragement for you to remember. Continue to pray. God is still working behind the scenes. And that's the second thing I want to tell you is that I believe that God works behind the scenes when people are praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so continue to faithfully pray for them. It sounds like you have a heart for that. Thirdly, I want to remind you not to become overly guilty about mistakes that you have made. I see parents do this all the time. They see children that they've tried to raise the right way, and if a child starts to go prodigal or wrestles with their walk with God, they immediately make a straight, solid line between their parenting and their child's struggle.
So true.
And I just want you to know that God was a perfect father and put his children in a perfect environment called the Garden of Eden, and they chose to disobey God, and he was the perfect father. So I'm sure that there's tons of things as a parent that you could have done better, because all of us can point to that. But I want to be cautious. I want to caution you not to take on guilt over maybe you did something wrong, that's why your children aren't following the Lord. They have a choice to make. They have their own journey, and it may not be your journey. Seldom is their journey the way that we would map it out. We would never map out valleys or struggle, but that's usually not how it works. And then lastly, I want to challenge you to pray for a God encounter. I prayed that for all of my kids. They were raised in the church, but they went through their own struggle. They had to wrestle with God. But I would always pray, God, I want them to have such a powerful encounter with you that it's not just about being raised in a Christian church, but they know that you are real, exist, that they surrender to you. So let them have their own God encounter that is undeniable with your presence, not just being raised in a Christian church. So, Amy, I want to encourage you. Don't beat yourself up. Continue to pray for your children. The final chapter has not been written.
Thank you, Mark. And wherever you're listening from today, we invite you to send us a message by going online to boldstepsradio.org. Or give us a call and leave your story on a recorded line. The number to dial is 312-329-2011. That's 312-329-2011. We love hearing these stories, and friends, it's thanks to the prayers and financial support of listeners like you that we are able to reach people with this Bible ministry. So if you'd like to help more listeners in your local community and across the world, sign up to give on a monthly basis as a Bold partner. And by donating, let's say, $30 or more each month, you'll not only help us continue our mission, but also receive some special perks, including a 50% discount on all Moody Publishers resources in our online store at moodypublishers.org, along with other exclusive content from Mark. So don't wait. Sign up today to become a Bold partner by visiting boldstepsradio.org. All right, let's get back to our message from Mark Job. It's called, To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question.
The Apostle Paul also says in this passage that if you are married, don't seek a divorce, but if you're unmarried, don't look for a wife. I know some singles that almost act as though their life is on hold, or they're not really living unless they're married. And we have sometimes this idea that some singles have this idea that their life is incomplete, that they're just half of a person, that somehow they are less than whole unless they have a marriage ring on their finger or unless they're in a relationship. And so some singles have in their mind that their life is really not good, that something's really missing in their life, and that they can't be quite content, and that really their life is on pause. And once they find that right person, then finally they'll really begin to live. And some singles live their life as though something were incomplete. If they just were married, then finally their life would be complete. And what the Apostle Paul is telling these believers is, in this pleasant circumstance, if you're single, embrace your singleness. It's okay to be single. You are a whole person as a single individual. Embrace the fact that you're single. Embrace the fact that you're married. And learn to be content in your present circumstance. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have a heart to get married, you shouldn't be praying for it. You shouldn't be pursuing it. But it does mean that you shouldn't live like life is on hold, or live like you are in this valley of depression until you find a spouse. Embrace your singleness, be happy with it, and don't make the main aim of your life to change your circumstances right away. Paul goes on to say, but if you marry, you have not sinned. Hey, even though he says don't jump into marriage, he reminds the people that if they do get married, hey, marriage is not a sin. You haven't sinned if you choose to get married. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. If a single woman decides to get married, she hasn't sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And all the married people said, and I want you to spare you this. Now, those of you that are married, understand this is a true statement. Because marriage entails an amount of work that in your single life you're not going to have to face. He who marries, this is what Paul said, and Paul was a single individual, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life. Why many troubles? Well, when you're single and you get married, you exchange a whole set of issues over here for a whole new set of issues. When you're single, oftentimes you bemoan the fact that you're lonely, or you wish you had a family to go back to, or maybe you really want to have children, or you really want to have a companion to share your life with, and you bemoan the fact that everybody has their place to go, but you sort of feel like you're a misfit and haven't quite found your place in society. And so there's issues that you deal with. Sexual purity is a big issue. But then when you get married, there's other issues. And Paul goes on to describe what those issues are. For example, when you get married, you are no longer just yourself. You have to, everything that you do, have to take in consideration your spouse. You can no longer say, hey, I'm going to get up and go and just leave for a couple days, or I'm going to take a little vacation. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Should I take my wife with me? Hey, you got a wife now. You have the responsibility of a husband and the responsibility of a wife and the responsibility of a household. My grandpa used to say, he says, you'll know you're married if you want to know what it's like to be married. He says, just put a big barrel beside you. Every time you eat, put food in that barrel. Every time you spend some money, put some more money in that barrel. He says, because now it's two of you, and if you can't handle the barrel, you can't handle being married, is what he told me. And the truth is that marriage entails a whole set of responsibilities that some people are not quite ready to handle. They haven't thought through what it means to take care of a household. They haven't thought through what it means to take care of children, what it means to be responsible and have insurance and create a place that a family can be raised in and do well. And there's a whole set of troubles and issues and responsibilities that marriage entails. But it takes a little more than love to make this work, or a redefinition of love, because love is not an emotion.
Listening to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Today's message is called To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question. If you know of someone who might benefit from these Bible teachings on singleness, sex, and marriage, feel free to direct them to our website, boldstepsradio.org. Of course, you can also get these messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device by simply subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast. Go to your podcast app and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Job. Here at Bold Steps, we're passionate about equipping believers with the truth and tools necessary to live boldly for God. And this month, we're seeking to reignite your passion for effective prayer by offering you a book by Dr. Bill Thrasher titled, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. Prayer comes in all shapes and sizes, but not all prayers are created equal. So how do you know if you're going through the motions rather than building a real connection with God? Dr. Thrasher is here to help. His book offers expert insights and practical tips to help you enhance your spiritual connection and cultivate a more robust prayer routine. We'll send you a copy of How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Call us at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 800-356-6639. Or go online to boldstepsradio.org. You can also send a gift in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll hear the conclusion of the practical series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. That's Wednesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.